What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer. We are three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and we've been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, and this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. Wow. Where do you even begin, you guys? Thank you, of course, for coming back after that game as the Chargers fall to the Raiders 26-24 in another heartbreaking game that just when you think the Chargers season is given a chance to maybe come back and make a playoff run, they lose a game like this against the Raiders on national television on a short week in a game that they absolutely should have won. And of course, they fall short once again. So we're going to start the show by just talking about what the Chargers lost and just all of the stats and bad things from this game and kind of questionable way that the game ended. And then we'll get into a game recap, a very condensed version of the game recap. We won't make you guys relive every single drive, but we'll get into a shorter game recap. And then to end the show, we'll get into some voicemails. We had five voicemails right after the game. Two of them are from the same person. And two of them are T-Nautical. And I'm sorry, T-Nautical. I'm sorry, all of you guys. Thank you for calling in to vent. I'm really sorry about that game. Let's go ahead and get into it, though, guys. This is your Locked On Chargers lead story. I'm Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer. The Chargers lose to the Raiders 26-24 on Thursday Night Football in another game where they had the lead late in the game. They had a chance again to win the game after the Raiders took the lead in the fourth quarter, and they could not get it done. Phillip Rivers on the last drive goes 0-for-7 with the game-ending interception. The Chargers got off to a very slow start in this game, going down 10-0 off of two Phillip Rivers interceptions, one of them which gets returned to the house. They had a pretty strong middle of the game coming back and getting back into this game, especially defensively, but with a little over a minute left, Josh Jacobs runs an 18-yard rushing touchdown that gives the Raiders the lead, and the Chargers can't get back. And the Chargers, with over a minute left and three timeouts, cannot even get a first down on their own without a penalty and cannot get the field goal that would have won the game. So, David, the Chargers obviously lose a game that they could not afford to lose, to say the least, in another game that goes down in heartbreaking fashion where you lose by 2 points and you have the ball in your hand at the end of the game with a chance to go and win it. The Chargers come up short once again. This was just a really bad game. You give them a 10-point start, you lose Russell Okung early, and it just affects the rest of the game drastically. Just a terrible, terrible game for the Chargers.
Yeah, it was awful, Daniel. I mean, we've seen this story. I mean, we've watched this movie already a couple of times this season where the Chargers spot their opponent's points, they get down, and then they spend most of the game trying to claw their way back. They did the same thing in this game. Phillip Rivers throws three interceptions. I mean, two relatively early. I mean, they run the ball fairly well in this game. But, you know, when the game is on the line and, you know, they have an opportunity just to kick a field goal, I don't get it. I don't understand. I mean, you throw multiple deep shots when you could have used the middle of the field. You have three timeouts left. You can, you know, hit the numbers. All you had to do was get into field goal position, and they didn't do it. I just don't understand why you're playing hero ball in that situation when you had more time. I just don't like the play calling. I don't like the execution. It was just a terrible game.
Yeah, horrible execution on that final drive. You go 0-for-7, all passes. The one other play on the drive was another incompletion that you get bailed out by a penalty by the Raiders on fourth down. Just a really bad game. Phillip Rivers goes into hero mode. You could see that he had absolutely no trust in the offensive line. But hey, you move the ball down the field right before that. He actually had Andre Patton on a pretty good deep route that he just missed through, and that goes incomplete. Just, I mean, such a bad game for the Chargers, and what a downward spiral this season has been. And of course, right when you get the biggest win of the season, it comes with one of the biggest letdowns of the season, the Chargers losing another one possession game. I mean, they've only won one, and that was the game against the Colts where they blew a fourth quarter lead. The rest, the two games you won, were double digit wins. So, David, now the Chargers fall to 4-6 on the season, and more importantly, they give the Raiders a win and even more of an edge in the divisional race. Not that it's between you and the Raiders, but just such a bad loss to give them a win. And now you're 0-2 in the division with the Chiefs still twice on the schedule. You have to play this Raiders team again and a Broncos team that's already beat you. And of course, you have to also play the Vikings, who have been an up and down team, but they're more than talented enough to beat the Chargers. It just seems like right now, David, this season has gotten to a point where they've lost control of it, and I just don't know if they're going to be able to get back in it. I mean, now the Chargers' playoff chances are slim to none.
Yeah, I mean, how can you feel good about how this team is going to perform on a week-by-week basis? You just don't know which team you're going to see. I mean, against the Green Bay Packers, they play a flawless game. I mean, probably the best football that they could have played. And now, after this game on Thursday night, it looks like an anomaly. And it looks like several of the other games that we've seen the rest of the season. How can you have any confidence in what team is going to show up on Sundays the rest of the season when you're playing against really, really good opponents? The Chiefs, you got next. All the other division games, the Vikings, like you mentioned. I mean, this season is definitely unraveling, and it could get a lot uglier before it's over.
Yeah, and realistically, the Chargers would have to run the table to be seriously considered for a playoff spot. I mean, maybe 9-7 gets you in, but it's unlikely with the games you have left. It's just such a deflating loss for the Chargers and for Chargers fans. I feel for you guys today, because what a ridiculous way to lose a game. What an absolute heartbreaking way to start the game in a game you should absolutely win. And all season long, the Chargers have been playing to the level of their competition. Whether it's Miami hanging with them in the first half, or the Chargers playing their best game against one of the best teams in the NFL. They played down to the Bears. They played down to the Titans. It has been a case of that all season long for the Chargers. And once again, at the end of the game, it's not the Raiders beating the Chargers, but the Chargers beating themselves once again. But we do have two more segments to get into. We do have to get into the game recap, unfortunately, as well as some fan voicemails to let you guys vent about such a frustrating loss this week against the Raiders. But before we get into that, I need to tell you guys about my bookie. Between football season, the NBA, and the start of college basketball season, it's time to get off the sideline and get in on the action. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little and win a lot, you have to try a parlay, because they're perfect. They let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout, and you don't have to put that much on it. So if you're going to bet this season, if you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you put in $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. All you have to do to get that is use the special promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, to get 1.5 times your money with MyBookie right now. Make sure you use that promo code LOCKEDON to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer at MyBookie.ag today. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. I also need to tell you guys about our favorite car dealership, and of course I'm talking about Metro Infinity. You have to check out their brand new multi-million dollar facility that's right off the 210 in Monrovia. They are the only dealer in California that is family owned, and they've been in business for over 25 years while being the number one volume dealer in California. One of my favorite parts about Metro Infinity is that if you don't like going into the dealership, it's no problem at all. They will bring your new car and your paperwork to your house or office to complete the whole transaction there. Make sure to tell them that Locked On Chargers sent you over there, and you will get an extra $500 off of any car purchase. They take pride in not being your typical car dealer where it takes hours to buy a car. They don't play games, and they want their customers to have a luxury car buying experience. Trust me, these guys get it. If you're thinking about a new Infiniti or even in the market for any new cars, you have to hit up Metro Infiniti at 626-599-7510 or at metroinfinity.com. And right now you could be driving off in your brand new Infiniti Q50 3.0 luxury loaded with navigation. And you can get that extra $500 off by telling them Locked On Chargers sent you over there. All right, guys, well, it's time to get into the game recap from this terrible game against the Oakland Raiders. I feel for you guys. Honestly, I do. We have so many good fans that, you know, call into the show and stuff. Sucks for me to have to be the one to bring you guys this game recap and a game that really no one wants to hear about again. But I will start with the Chargers just getting off to the most disastrous start they basically could have, John, because the Chargers in this game give up a 10-0 lead off of two Phillip Rivers interceptions. One of them goes to the house, Both of them are really terrible throws. The other one gets returned all the way inside field goal range, is where the Raiders get that field goal. But on a short week, on a team that you can't really mess around with, the last thing that you could have happen in this game, John, is Phillip Rivers throwing two interceptions on the first two drives. And of course, that's what happens. And honestly, they're just kind of unexplainable. Like, I don't understand what happened. One was just an overthrow to Keenan Allen, but just two really bad throws by Phillip Rivers.
Well, the first one was a bad throw. It was overthrown.
But the second one, he slips, but
the second one, Hunter Henry slips. So Rivers threw the ball before he slipped. It's all about timing. Rivers needs to hit his mark. So you're anticipating where the guy is going to be. And Henry slipped. You can see on the sideline after that, Henry put on different cleats to try to prevent it. So that one you can't really fault Rivers for. But the first one, just wow, way off the mark. And just already has the Chargers momentum going against them. The Raiders get all this momentum, two interceptions, a 10-0 lead. But they bounced back pretty well from it. It just, you cannot have these slow starts. The two interceptions is just unacceptable. Even though one wasn't Rivers' fault, it's still not acceptable. Something's got to be figured out here.
Something has to be figured out. I mean, you just can't have it. I mean, even though the Chargers come back to take the lead in this game, that 10 points is obviously really important when you end up losing by 2 points. So on the Chargers' next drive, they end up punting. But on the drive after that, they finally break through and get a Hunter Henry two-yard reception for a touchdown right in the back of the end zone. It was a great play design with a receiver going into the flats and drawing up the coverage. Hunter Henry finds himself wide open in the back of the end zone. But the one thing that was really apparent in this game was that Melvin Gordon was having a really good game. I mean, making people miss, good, tough runs, and the Chargers would go back-to-back because on the next drive, you end up getting Melvin Gordon up the middle for a 3-yard touchdown. The Chargers were helped out a little bit because Phillip Rivers was almost intercepted again by the same guy who intercepted him the first two times, but it was an offsides penalty on Max Crosby. The ball was tipped up in the air, so it would have been another really tough interception to take. But you get the ball back. Melvin Gordon takes it from 3 yards out. And David, the Chargers did show some resolve coming back, getting those back-to-back touchdowns. And Melvin Gordon was a man who looked like he was having one of the better games of the season.
He definitely was, Daniel. I mean, he was looking strong. He was running very physical. He was making good cutbacks. He had good vision. It seemed like he was always falling forward, getting those extra yards. Melvin Gordon definitely looked his best tonight, going over 100 yards rushing. He definitely moved this offense down the field. He was a big part of the game tonight.
And the Raiders, for the most part, in the first quarter, late into the second half, didn't really have to earn anything offensively. I mean, the defense set them up in great opportunities to score. And besides that, the Chargers were getting them three and out every single time in the first half for the most part. But this is what absolutely kills you. On the last drive for the Raiders before halftime, we talked about how big it was last week for the Chargers to soak up all that time, even though they only get a field goal. This time, the Raiders basically run a 4-minute drill, have a 3-minute, 54-second drive where Derek Carr ends up finding the fullback, Alex Ingold, for 9 yards and a touchdown. So just like that, the Raiders take the lead back. It's 17-14 with only 7 offensive points for the Raiders. And then, John, they come out after halftime and the Chargers allow a field goal drive. I mean, yes, it's nice to hold them to a field goal, but you can't have that, John. I mean, really, you have one possession at the end of the half that goes 5 yards that you weren't really ever trying to score. But at the end of the half and the beginning of the second half, you give up 10 points to the Raiders. So what was a 14-10 game is now all of a sudden a 20-14 game, 10 points just like that before you really have an offensive possession.
And it has to go back to that soft zone coverage that they were playing. You let the Raiders move down the field thinking that you would hold them in the red zone and limit them to a field goal, make it 14-13 at halftime, but you gave them the chance at a touchdown, and they capitalized. And then coming out the second half, it was the same thing. And you did nothing to adjust to it. Gus Bradley is not adjusting to anything. It's like he feels like he's Anthony Lynn with the stubbornness. We're going to run what I want to run. And it's going to either work or not work, but it's what I want to run. I just don't get when we're going to have an adjustment on defense. You just saw two back-to-back drives, one before halftime, then you go into halftime, a chance to adjust, and you come back out and you run the same thing that allowed the touchdown to end the half. It makes no sense.
It really didn't. And I mean, it was just, it was like that all game long. And the Chargers Shane Steichen has to take at least some fault for this, because the Chargers offense, you can tell the Raiders went in at halftime and said, hey, these guys are missing their top two offensive tackles right now. Maybe we should just blitz them and just absolutely make it chaos in the backfield and see what happens. And that worked for the most part. And the Raiders were in Phillip Rivers' face all game. 5 sacks by a team that came into this with 15 all season long. That's really unacceptable. I mean, yeah, this is why you can't have Trey Pipkins as your backup left tackle. I'm getting carried away. So, but this is what Shane Steichen has to take some credit for, because the Chargers' first two possessions coming out after halftime, one goes 3 and out, -2 yards. One goes 3 and out, -14 yards. When the other team is streaking like they were, and the Raiders miss a field goal in the middle of those two punts, which would have really extended it to a 2-possession game at that point. But the Chargers' defense comes back, gets a punt from the Raiders, 5 plays, 16 yards, which is nice. The Chargers end up tacking on a field goal, which could have been a touchdown drive, and that obviously ends up hurting you as well, even though the Chargers go 3 for 4 in red zones, turning those into touchdowns. That's not a terrible number, but right there, a touchdown would have been huge. Instead, it's 20-17. Then after that, you get another punt by the Raiders, and the Chargers in the fourth quarter, David, come back to take the lead. Phillip Rivers finds Austin Ekeler for 6 yards and a touchdown, and it really looked like the Chargers might pull this one off.
Yeah, no, it was a great drive, and it was a great play design too. I mean, Austin Ekeler's just been killing it all season long as a receiver. I mean, he's just been he's over 50 catches as a running back. He's been not only one of the better running backs, but one of the better receivers in the NFL. He's just been dynamic, and he gets his 6th touchdown, receiving touchdown on, like I said, just a great crosser. And finishes the play like he always does. Got in the end zone, restored some confidence in the fan base. Said, hey, you know, we might be able to pull this one out, but unfortunately, the Chargers charged themselves out of a win.
They did, and I mean, they let the Raiders on that next drive really go down and kind of dictate how the end of this game was going to go. It was such a deflating drive for the Raiders, who end up going 10 plays for 75 yards. It would have been more than that if Josh Jacobs hadn't broken a 19-yard run for a touchdown that put the Raiders up 26-24 after Daniel Carlson, who already missed a field goal, misses an extra point. So that continues. The Chargers have every kicker missing against them, and they can't actually turn it into wins and losses this year, which is incredibly frustrating. But then comes the drive everyone's going to be talking about today, and that is the last drive of the game. Phillip Rivers ends up throwing it 8 straight times. You don't get a completion. He goes 0-for-7, throws the game-losing interception down the sideline. He had all 3 timeouts left. You can't blame Anthony Lynn for burning all of his timeouts. All he had to do was a couple easy completions in the middle of the field, some run after the catch because you know they're trying to take away the big play. What ends up happening is the ugliest drive I've seen for them when they needed to get up points on the board out of any maybe I've ever seen. Just such a bad offensive possession for the Chargers to end the game after just going down the field and scoring a touchdown. I won't ask you guys about that right now because we have a couple of voicemails asking about that specifically, but Chargers lose a very, very big game in their season and now have to sit at 4-6 and think about every single close game that has gotten away from him this year. Oh yeah, all 6 losses this season. But we do have one more segment to get into. Getting into our fan voicemails coming up right after this. All right, guys, time for the final segment of the show, and I cannot thank you guys enough for continuing to listen to this, considering what the Chargers just did to you on Thursday Night Football. Just what a disgrace. Thursday Night Football, brutal. Get rid of it. Get rid of Thursday Night Football. Teams should never be playing on Thursday Night Football. It's not healthy. Anyways, so let's go ahead and get into these voicemails. If you guys want to get your voices on the show, and I'm sure you have a lot to vent about, make sure to call into 323-524-7924. Every Chargers voicemail gets played on the show. So, obviously, right after this game ended, we just got flooded with voicemails, and I love your guys' support, and I hated having to listen to your sadness because it hurts me on the inside. So, let's go ahead and get into it. First, let's go to T Nautical from Twitter, who called in and actually had a two-part voicemail. I can only fit in the first part, but let's hear what he has to say.
T Nautical here. Well, I'm done. That's it. So long, and thanks for all the fish. How many do we have to lose for Walker Little? I'm ready to board Team Tank now. That's it. See ya.
All right, well, T-Nautical is done, guys. He's done. he's had enough of this season, and it's hard for me to blame him, David. I mean, just such a terrible season. And he wants to know how much we have to lose to get Walker Little, who is the offensive tackle out of Stanford, potential top 10 pick, more than likely. So the Chargers are well on their way if they want to get a guy like that. If they don't spend it on a quarterback, which I'm sure we'll be discussing more in the future with this, the way this season is going. So, David, it's hard for me. I also will say that T-Knuckle's other part of his voicemail was just questioning why the Raiders are paying Derek Carr $120 million to throw it to running backs. But, I mean, that's a question. That's a question none of us have an answer for. But, David, it's hard to really get mad at anyone that wants to just tank the rest of the season with the way this season has gone. I mean, the chances of making the playoffs are so small right now. Business-wise, football-wise, it'd probably make more sense to lose the rest of the games this season. I mean, it's hard for me to say that, but it really is like that. But I cannot be mad at any fans who just say, after that game, I'm done.
No, trust me. I mean, after this football game wrapped up, I had to take a couple of hours to myself. I mean,
for real, we almost didn't record the show, guys. We almost just straight up canceled this shit because that was just ridiculous.
It was rough. I mean, I'm a fan just like everyone else. So, you know, whenever the Chargers lose in excruciating fashion, and you have to get up and gear up and try to do a show, you know, the only kind of thing that clings to my mind is, hey, I want to put out a good product for you guys. But I mean, it was just rough to you, Nautical. I don't blame you if you want to, you know, skip out on the rest of the season. I mean, watching the Chargers lose and lose in the fashion that they have lost all season long has really just been really, really brutal, and it's been hard to take. But, you know, I'm a fan. I'm probably the most optimistic guy that you're going to find, but I don't know how I feel about the rest of the season. I don't ever like the idea of tanking, but, ah, man, it's just hard to have a positive outlook on the rest of the season after this just disastrous loss.
It is. I mean, just such a really disastrous game for the Chargers. Get off to about as bad of a start as you can and about as bad as a finish as you can. So let's go to Nick from Colorado now, who's been calling in. Frequent caller miles are going up for Nick from Colorado. You are always welcome here, buddy. I'm so sorry that the Chargers did this to you. What do you got to say for us this week?
Hey, this is Nick in Colorado. Well, fellas, unfortunately, this call's not about a win. It was about an excruciating loss. The boys give up a run, unforgivable run, with a little bit over a minute left in the game after they had salted away, you know, 2 or 3 minutes there. I am tired of Jenkins. He is Jahlil Adai, just a little taller and a little skinnier. He's useless, and I look forward to him not being on the team as soon as possible. Not too much good came out of this game. Again, we're watching Rivers play hero ball, 40 seconds left, and he's on the other side of the 50. So, still love what you guys are doing. Keep up the good work. Go Bolts.
All right. Well, you know, more spewing of flames from Chargers fans. I cannot blame you guys one bit. The one thing I will address here, you know, is Philip Rivers hero ball. You can't have it. I mean, as much as we say, you know, Philip Rivers going in a hero ball, you really can't have it. I mean, you can't have those interceptions, even though that really wasn't the hero ball part of the game. Right there in that situation, the Philip Rivers has had some times where he's throwing the ball up, and that's the only option that he has at that point. That was not the case this week, so I can't really defend him on that. And John, what do you think about him comparing Rayshon Jenkins to Jahlil Adai? He says he's the new Jahlil Adai, just a little skinnier, a little taller. When you see a play like 3rd and 1 right there at the end of the game, 18-yard rushing touchdown with Rayshon Jenkins just taking another dreadful angle on a tackle in the running game, it's hard not to agree.
I actually agree with him. It's the same thing. It's a lot of missed tackles, a lot of poor angles. The only difference is Jahlil Adai actually could lay a hit on somebody, even though most of the time he injured himself a lot. But Rayshon has no ability of angle tackling. On that last drive, you could obviously see, if you watch like the slow motion up close replays of Josh Jacobs, you could see Rayshon's hand just like sliding along Josh Jacobs' hip as he runs into the end zone. So it's really confusing that it's way far into the season. Now we're past halfway and he's still doing the same mistakes. And I'm going to go back to Gus Bradley here. Why are you not fixing this? Why are we not adjusting? Why are you not teaching your guys how to tackle better? What kind of a defensive coordinator are you?
I don't know if, like, the tackling part of it, the fundamental tackling is definitely an issue, but the angles that he takes there, I mean, John, you could say he had a hand on his hip, but he was nowhere close to making that tackle. I mean, that was just, well, he was not even, yeah, no, I mean, you're right. Like, I mean, that's the thing is,
yeah. If you would have saw a good tackle here, you would have saw Rayshon's head in front of Josh Jacobs with arms wrapping around. And if he breaks out of that tackle, it's because he was too strong or something and Rayshon needs to hit the weight room. But all you can see is a hand raising against the hip, which means Rayshon was not even close to making that tackle because he was behind the play.
And if you need an example of how you're supposed to tackle, just look at Derek Watt on special teams squaring up right in front of the ball carrier and dropping him immediately. That is how you're supposed to tackle.
All right, you could look at, you know, Drew Tranquil, 14 tackles in this game. That's pretty gnarly. That was a tough play. I mean, Josh Jacobs in a hole that big because the defensive tackle slips. I mean, that was a garage door they opened for him right there, and there was no linebacker in sight. It's a tough play, but we've just seen way too many bad angles from Rayshon Jenkins coming up. He's been much better in coverage than Jahlil Adai was for the most part, but Jesus, it's hard to watch that right there. But still, guys, you're down 2 points, and you have plenty of time to go get a game-winning field goal from Michael Badgley, and we can all ride off into the sunset. So that's what these next couple of calls are about. So let's get to Curtis Loki, who's always been a loyal fan to us. I'm happy to be able to play this for you, Curtis, and I'm so sorry that I'm making you have to give a voicemail like this.
Hey, guys, it's Curtis Loki. I mean, obviously, we all saw the game. It was pretty rough. You know, I'm not usually one to talk about, hey, we need a coaching change and things like that, and I don't believe I'm going to start that right now, but I'm pretty sure all of you guys are going to point out the fact that, hey, there was 30 seconds left, and we had 3 timeouts, and we decided let's play some hero ball and throw for, I don't know, 20, 30 yards at a time instead of, you know, maybe throwing a few sideline, you know, catches and using a couple of timeouts, using the middle of the field a bit. You know, look, I understand one of our tackles went down. You know, obviously not just one of our tackles, but Russell Okun, and that was a pretty big deal. But, man, you know, once again, you know, here we are. I mean, I'm the one that asked the question about, hey, are we going to finish potentially 9-7 or 10-6? And, I mean, now I'm thinking 7-9 at best. You know, I mean, it's obviously, I mean, I'm furious. I mean, I would be okay with a season, not necessarily okay, but I would, if we went through a season at 2-14, knowing that we beat the Raiders twice, that's, you know what, hey, at least we beat the Raiders, right? I mean, I'm a Californian, I gotta deal with this BS, you know? This is just, I don't know, man. Look forward to hearing your guys' podcast and what you guys have to say. No matter what, it's go Bolts, but this is a rough one. Later, guys.
All right, so I will say that as far as the season goes for this one, we've all had to really adjust our expectations. I mean, I thought that the Chargers would go somewhere around 10-6 too this season with Derwin James going out and all of that. That obviously changed everything, and the Chargers 2-5 start changed things a lot. But it's hard to really, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I think 7-9 is something that'll probably happen. I mean, the Chargers have 6 games left now. To go 3-3 in that, I think that's probably somewhere around where they'll go, right out of playoffs and not good enough to get a really good draft pick. But we also have Stefan calling in from Southern California, who's asking a similar question about the end of the game. So let's get to that too.
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. It's Stefan over in Southern California. Man, what was that? Just got done watching that Raiders game. Dude, come on. Are you serious? They're over here. Got 3 timeouts left with 1 minute left in the game and 25-yard line, easy. All you need is a field goal. Boom. First play, deep shot. Second play, deep shot. Are you serious? You're not even throwing to Mike Williams. You're throwing to Andre Patton where you don't even have a chemistry with the guy. I mean, come on. You have enough time to drive down the field. Boom. 4 plays in the dirt. Luckily, they get some pass or holding call and they get another 4 plays. Dude, oh, maybe you should change it up. Nope. Another 4 plays in the dirt. Game over. I mean, that was the worst game I've ever seen myself. I mean, come on. Dude, really? Drive down the field and show you that you're elite. I mean, oh my gosh, I'm just frustrated. But, I mean, looking at this game, if we're playing the Chiefs next, man, it looks like we're going to get our ass kicked. Because Now, this is complete garbage. It's definitely a fluke that we won that game against the Packers. But, hey, love your guys' show. Thanks for letting me call on that. Bye.
All right, so I understand all of these questions are going to come with the way this game ended and why the Chargers didn't do things differently. So I don't know why they didn't do things differently. I don't know why Phillip Rivers is playing hero ball, but there is one thing that's for sure. Phillip Rivers was about as uncomfortable in the pocket as he's been all season. The Raiders and Gunther, the defensive coordinator, found something out in this game, especially against Phillip Rivers. They got back to something that was really hurting him early on, and that is getting pressure up the middle because you know he can't escape the pocket and make throws on the run. The Raiders did that, but to call 8 straight passing plays, to have 8 straight incompletions, including one of them, that's a flag that you end up getting bailed out on 4th down, it's just unacceptable. I mean, there were patterns and routes that were run in that period of the game that were open, and Phillip Rivers just flat out didn't make the throws. He was throwing off of his back foot when he had time to step up in the pocket, but he just had no trust. And John, I think to me, honestly, what it comes down to, and David, I'll get to you after that, but I understand why the questionable play calling is under duress right now and the Chargers shouldn't have done that, but it also just pisses me off that at any point of the season that you have Trent Scott in Trey Pipkins out of Sioux Falls as your starting tackles, and that Tom Telesco went into this season knowing that could be a possibility.
And let's not forget what Anthony Lynn said in the post-game press conference about it as well. When he was asked about Scott and Pipkins, his response was, "I'd have to look at film, but I thought they did pretty well." Like, what are you watching? What game are you watching, Anthony Lynn? Why are you our coach still? You think everybody on our team has some type of good purpose in this world, okay? This isn't high school where you think every kid's going to become a future president or something. This is the NFL, and they have flaws and need to get kicked off the team or have someone replace them and let them be backups. The fact that Telesco didn't give you the offensive line you need is one thing, but the fact that you keep supporting these guys and saying that they're playing good and lying to yourself is just going to make everyone not believe in you anymore. It's ridiculous. And the fact that we have to rely on Trent Scott and Trey Pipkins, and this is after a guy that's also bad, Sam Tevy, misses the game. You have one guy go down, you're sitting here going, well, what's going to be the worst thing that happens? Trey Pipkins and Trent Scott start? Is that going to be any different? Then Russell Okung goes out. Russell Okung goes out again, man. What are we going to do with depth? This team has no line of depth at all. Everything is, we're going to put it all into the starters, and we have a bunch of undrafted free agents that we hope is the diamond in the rough. I think Telesco might be losing his job soon.
I think the Chargers have a lot of talent on this team, but I will say that it is very top-heavy. Regardless of the offensive line situation, though, David, the game cannot end like that with 8 straight incompletions. Where's Austin Ekeler in space? Where is the short pass with the yards after the catch? It cannot end with Phillip Rivers just looking like he's throwing a Hail Mary on about 5 of the 8 plays.
Yeah, why? Why are you doing that? I don't understand. You have plenty of time left in this game. You have all 3 of your timeouts, and you feel like it's necessary to just throw the ball deep down the field. I understand that you're trying to get junk plays, but all you had to do was get in comfortable field goal position and let the money badger go out there and win the football game for you. But instead, you throw it up to 3 different receivers where they had no chance to catch the football, and then you throw one and it gets intercepted. Phillip Rivers, I'm sorry, man. I love you, but this was an awful, awful performance by you. You had 3 interceptions. It was a possibility to have probably 2 or 3 more. This was a really, really bad game, and I think you need to take some ownership over this performance.
I can't play fully, though. I mean, for the most part, he was trying his hardest just to even make a play happen, and he's getting hit. He had a ball slapped out of his hand, and the play that the ball got slapped out of his hand for a fumble, I actually saw a receiver open down the field that he was looking to, and it's a fumble. Why? Because Trent Scott got absolutely destroyed. There was a play to Keenan Allen that went for big yards. That was a great play by Phillip Rivers. And what happens? Trent Scott holding. It comes back. I can't fully put this on Rivers, especially with Hunter Henry falling. And then the Carl Joseph interception was 4th down, so he had to loft it up and hope for something because it was 4th down. But the offensive line is more to blame than Rivers in my mind. I can only blame Rivers for the overthrown interception to Keenan and the interception that should have happened but was bailed out by an offside. Other than that, I thought Rivers actually tried his best with very little of what he had.
Well, listen to this real quick. From Eric Williams, Phillip Rivers has now double-digit interceptions in 12 of his 16 NFL seasons. 12.
But the double-digit interceptions isn't that bad. I mean, 10 interceptions you can live with. I mean, that's one basically every other game. So I think that stat's kind of a misnomer. I mean, he's had some really bad seasons, and you can chalk this one up as one of them with now, what is it? I mean,
you also got to remember, guys, that the ball went through their hands and bounced into another guy's.
Sure. I mean, there's so many things.
Travis Benjamin not being at his spot, like against the Chiefs, Travis Benjamin not being at his spot. Rivers threw the ball in a wide open gap where Travis Benjamin is supposed to stop, and it's intercepted. So, I mean, you got to actually go through the game film to see which ones were Rivers' fault. The early years of Rivers was him trying to jam the ball into places that he shouldn't have or trying to take the deep shots. But the past like 5 or 6 years has been his receivers and his offensive line letting him down for the most part, except besides the hero ball moments in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and those 4-12 and 5-11 seasons, there was a lot of those, just Phillip Rivers trying to will the team to victory, and that it looked like it in this one. And I like Phillip Rivers a lot, and I think he can do enough, but at the end of the day, I mean, with how many of those balls should have been intercepted in this game, the one that was that gets called back, the pick six obviously wasn't as much his fault, but the other one returned in field goal range was definitely his fault and just a bad throw. It's getting harder and harder to defend Phillip Rivers, but you just have to feel for him, and you have to wonder how long he wants to put up, which is getting absolutely battered like he was in this game, with the front office literally doing nothing to try and fix it except for spending a third-round pick on a guy out of Sioux Falls that might have been there in the seventh round. So that is going to wrap things up for today's show. Until next week, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. If you guys want to be like the rest of the guys and get your voice on the show, make sure to call into 323-524-7924. Every Chargers voicemail gets played on the show. Please come vent to us. We are down to commiserate with you guys. But thank you guys so much again for still sticking with us, even though the Chargers suck so much. Until next time, guys, until next week, take it easy and go Bolts.